welcome everybody to the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. This is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang saying welcome one, welcome all to the Wednesday night Bible study and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus. As we get rolling out here tonight, first we're going to open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we want to thank you again for another day. In you we have another way, Lord Jesus. We ask you, Lord, right now that you would touch that soul who is nearest hell. Help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, Lord Jesus, knowing that your word said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us, so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing, do pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children, we ask the same blessing to do pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you. And then, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, first of all, the family and friends who've lost someone due to COVID-19, we ask you, Lord Jesus, you to touch and comfort them as only you can through your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. And then for those dealing with COVID-19, as we speak, Lord Jesus, we ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then finally, Lord Jesus, for situations like George Floyd and many other wicked situations just like that we read about in the newspaper, hear about on the news, on the television or radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us to love our neighbors as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now we're going to get ready to roll out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus, wanting to say to those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, press the number one, join the conversation. You can ask your questions, give your comments, your prayer of praise, prayer requests, or any of those kind of things. We'd be glad to hear from you as we get rolling out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus on the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. All right, and Sister Ruth, who do we got with us this afternoon on the Gospel Bus?
We have the Father, Son, Holy Ghost band of angels. We have you, Sister Emily, me, her dad, and, of course, anybody else that's listening in the 56 countries or whatever.
All right. So how are we doing, Sister Emily?
Sitting over here having a nice soda pop tonight and trying to behave in the process.
All right. You going to keep an eye on Sister Ruthie tonight? Make sure she don't make too many crumbs on the Gospel Bus?
Any crumbs on the Gospel Bus, she gets a clean, have latrine duty with the toothbrush.
You heard that, Ruth.
Well, I guess I could offer to vacuum and then use a carpet sweeper when I'm done.
Oh, no. You heard the boss lady. You heard her. No, you're doing it with a toothbrush. You get too many crumbs.
And then you'll brush it. We got six.
Ooh, so you're really in trouble tonight. You make any crumbs on the Gospel Bus. We got six with us, too.
Six is here now.
Amen. What's going on?
Hey, Dalton.
Hey, what's Brother Dalton?
Hey, Dalton. Wow.
Six is there too, buddy.
All right.
Okay. Wow. Well,
yeah,
hello. Hope you and Nancy are doing okay. Hope you and Nancy are doing okay, Dalton, and staying safe. Please continue to wash those hands, practice social distancing, and wearing the mask. Welcome to the Six Eyes Wednesday night Bible study. We want to thank you for joining us. Phone lines are open at 424-243-9617. Why don't you all bring a friend and get on the Gospel Bus and enjoy. So I'm here. I got my coffee, and I'm going to have a great show. That's all I want to say. God bless. I'm listening in.
Right. And six, with you being on the bus, now we know Ruthie better really behave herself or else she'll be in trouble tonight.
Everybody do what they got to do.
That's for sure. Okay, so are we ready for a good hoedown for Jesus tonight?
Hey, amen.
Yeah,
amen.
Being the boss man's on the bus, I'd better definitely behave with that soda over here.
Right.
Kenny, is your migraine better?
Well, let's say it this way. I'm feeling good enough to drive the bus, so we're good and we're ready to roll.
Well, Steve, keep on praying for you, and thank you, Lord, for what you did to help my press.
Ruthie?
All right. So y'all ready for a good hoedown tonight?
Hold on for 1 minute. Ruthie, about an hour or so ago, I remember I spoke with you?
Me.
Okay. I won't say any more. Amen.
Yeah, well, I got to ask prayer for my husband. He's been sick with a migraine. So
amen.
I ask prayer for him.
Just prayer for me. That's all you had to say. Just prayer for me. You didn't have to get detailed.
God is gonna fix his headache, and just keep us all in prayer, praying for mankind. Amen.
Amen. All right. So if you're all ready to hold down, let's get to it.
All right.
Let's get going, Boogie.
All right, let's boogie. And tonight I am going to be dancing with coffee. So stay tuned
all
for
right.
that. I'm going to be jumping up and down, dancing with coffee. Amen.
All right.
No making mess, boss man.
And right. Hey,
God bless
Six.
Yes.
Let's do this Facebook Live. Get yourself going, Six.
All right. Let's go.
All right.
Let's do it.
Thank you. There is you could hold inside of the storm. I had vision and I had dreams, and I've even held in my hand, but I never knew the rain would slip right through me like they were only in the rain was fine. But the answer holds, love it in its balance. The anchor holds, love it sails and falls. I have fallen on my knees, as I face the racing sea, the anchor holds inside the storm. I have been lonely, but I'm old. There has been you, these I've seen. It was in the night, with the stones in my life, that's where God brings his love to. The anchor holds, though the ship is battered, the anchor holds, though the sails are torn. I have fallen on my as I face the agency, the anchor holds inside the soul. I have fallen on my knees as I face the agency.
Don't worry, dear, have no fear, 'cause I'm yours.
Are you mine? Tell me, dear. Will I always have you near? Will the love light always shine in your heart just like in mine? Will you give as well as take? Keep the vows that you will make. Tell me, darling, are you mine and only mine? Are you mine?
Yes, I am.
All the time.
Yes, I am.
Mine alone.
Yes, sirree.
All my own.
Yes, sirree. No one else will ever do. I'll be yours and I'll be true.
No worry, dear. Have no fear, cause I'm yours. Darling, are you sure? Will you whisper, yes, I do, and forever love me true? Will you honor and obey? Will you promise not to stray? Tell me, darling, are you mine and only mine? Are you mine?
Yes, I am.
All the time.
Yes, I am.
Mine alone.
Yes, sirree.
All my own.
Yes, sirree. No one else will ever do. I'll be yours and I'll be true.
Don't worry, dear. Have no fear, cause I'm yours. Are you mine?
Yes, I am.
All the time.
Yes, I am.
Mine alone.
Yes, sirree.
All my own.
Yes, sirree. No one else will ever do. I'll be yours and I'll be true.
Don't worry, dear. Have no fear, cause I'm yours. Don't worry, dear. Have no fear, cause I'm yours. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace that died? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed?
Are you washed
in the blood?
In the blood?
In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed?
Are you washed
in the blood?
In the blood?
In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
The hope that you
touch like you do at your fingertips, touch. King, like the guy who sits on a throne, wears a crown, king, at gmail.com. In your subject line, you just put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get in contact with me about. Secondly, if you wish to get in contact with Ruth about her Bible prophecy, you would contact her by kjv1611ruth@gmail.com. That's K as King, J as Jackson, V as Victory, 1611, R as Randy, U as Umbrella, T as Tom, H as Henry, at gmail.com. Again, kjv1611ruth@gmail.com. In your subject line, prophecy. And thirdly, last but not least, if you wish to get a hold of Brother Six Eyes about any of his Six Eyes Music Studio Productions work, where you can get recordings made, whether album, commercial, etc., or if you wish to get donation information for the station here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, you contact him at sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line for him, you put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get a hold of him about. And in all three cases, in your body of your message, refer it to your subject line, and we will not only read your message, but we will get back in contact with you. Amen.
7 days a week of what you really want, the Six Eyes Radio Network.
Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617 and 424-243-9617. Press the number 1, join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday,
take me to the King. I don't have much to breathe. My heart is torn in pieces. It's my offering. Take me to the King.
Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang, with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. Then on Thursday,
don't let me.
The Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that could be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Friday.
It's not because God's left us, it's because we refuse to heed the mighty
College on the Air. It's the talk Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. It's where you get Bible college on the air with no homework. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, and last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays.
Hello?
Yeah, hey, Ruth. I don't know what's going on with me, but I just, I'm so down. All I want to do is sleep and have no appetite. I feel like it's just better to sleep right now.
Sweetheart, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, Ruthie, I wish you really knew what you could say or do, but I'm just disappointed. All I want to do is sleep, and it seems like anybody I talk to doesn't understand it.
I wish I did know what to do, sweetheart.
Well, sometimes friends don't know what to do. It's better to get the professionals to give you the help when you need it. And call the National Mental Health Line at 1-800-273-85. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network. And now it is time for the Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week. And this week we are going into Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5.
Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him.
All right. And one more time.
Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him.
And that is our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week. Found in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5, Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5, which tells us that every word of God is pure. And that is the best place to get pure words is in the Word of God, found in our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5, Proverbs chapter 30, and verse 5. Amen. Is U Haul open?
We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Truck in the Vastabula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations, so we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2FOR, the number 1 Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved, so come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right.
Let's do it.
That's Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Blind Trucking of Ashtabula Hauling Service, 440-789-9411. All right, come on now.
All right.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are dressed. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen.
Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Praising my Savior all the day long.
Blind man in the bleachers, the local hometown fans, and he sits beneath the speakers, way back in the stands, and he listens to the play-by-play, just waiting for one name.
He wants to hear his son get in the game. But the boy's just not a hero. He's strictly second team. Though he runs each night for touchdowns in his daddy's sweetest dreams. He's gonna be a star someday, so you might never tell. But the blind man in the bleachers knows he will.
It's the last game of the season on a Friday night at home. And no one knows the reason why the blind man didn't come. And the boy looks kind of nervous, sometimes turns around and says, just as though he sees the old man sitting there.
The local boys are trying, but they slowly lose their will. Another slayer down and out, scary. The kid goes off alone, and no one sees him talking on the phone.
And the game's already started when he gets back to the team. And half the crowd can hear his coach yell, where the hell you been? Just getting ready for the second half. With all his faith, but now you gotta let me in the play. And without another word, he turns and runs into the game. And through the silence on the field, loudspeakers call his name. It'll make the local papers have a team change from behind when they saw him playing out.
And when the game was over, the coach asked him to tell, what was it he was thinking of that made him play so well?
Well, you knew my dad was blind, he said. Tonight he passed away.
It's the first time that my father's seen me play.
It's the last game of the season on a Friday night at home. And no one knows the reason.
And they had the biggest pipe organ of any church in town. But over in the amen corner of that church, that brother Howard, and he insisted every Sunday on singing in the choir. His voice was cracked and broken. Age had touched his vocal cords. And nearly every Sunday, he'd get behind and miss the word. Well, the choir got so flustered, the church was told and fined that Brother Howard stopped his singing, and the choir was going to resign. So the pastor appointed a committee. I think it was three or four. And they got in their big fine car and drove up to Iyer's door. They found the flowers they troubled sitting there in an old armchair. And the summer's golden sunbeams lay upon his snow white hair. Said York, we're here, dear brother, with the vestry's approbation to discuss a little matter that affects the congregation. Now, we don't want no singing except what we've bought. The newest tunes are all the rage. The old ones stand for naught. And so we have decided, are you listening, brother? You'll have to stop your singing. It's messing up our choir. The old man raised his head. A sign that he did hear. And on his cheek the three men caught the glitter of a tear. His feeble hands pushed back the locks as white as silk as snow. And he answered the committee in a voice both soft and low. I've sung the Psalms of David nearly 80 years, said he. They've been my staff and comfort all along life's weary way. Sorry I disturbed the choir. I guess I'm doing wrong. But when my heart is filled with praise, I can't keep back a song. I wonder if beyond the tide that's breaking at my feet, in that far-off heavenly temple where my master I shall meet, yes, I wonder if when I try to sing the songs of God up higher, I wonder if they'll kick me out up there for singing in heaven's choir. A silence filled the little room. The old man bowed his head. The committee went on back to town, but Brother Iyer was dead. The choir missed him for a while, but he was soon forgotten. A few church doors watched the door, but the old man entered not. Far away his voice is sweet, and he sings his heart's desire. Where there are no church committees and no fashionable choir. Let me hide myself in
thee. I'm kind of home. No sad goodbye will there be spoken, and time won't matter anymore. Beulah land, I'm longing I'm looking now. I'll stand. There my home shall be eternal.
If you'd like to get in contact with us here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, there are three email addresses you may use to get in contact with us. First of all, if you wish to get in contact with me, Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, about any kind of Bible questions that you may have or regarding the programming here or complaints about programming, you may contact me at feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's feel like you do with your fingertips, F-E-E-L, letter N as Nancy, touch like you do with your fingertips, T-O-U-C-H, king like the guy who sits on a throne, wears a crown, K-I-N-G, at gmail.com. In your subject line, you just put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get in contact with me about. Secondly, if you wish to get in contact with Ruth about her Bible prophecy, you would contact her by kjv1611ruth@gmail.com. That's K as King, J as Jackson, V as Victory, 1611, R as Randy, U as Umbrella, T as Tom, H as Henry, @gmail.com. Again, kjv1611ruth@gmail.com. In your subject line, put Bible prophecy. And thirdly, last but not least, if you wish to get a hold of Brother Six Eyes about any of his Six Eyes Music Studio Productions work, where you can get recordings made, whether album, commercial, etc., or if you wish to get donation information for the station here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, you contact him at sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, @gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, @gmail.com. In your subject line for him, you put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get a hold of him about, all three cases, in your body of your message, refer it to your subject line. And we will not only read your message, but we will get back in contact with you. Amen. Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road. And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network. Would you like to keep shows like this one on the air? Let me tell you how you can go about doing that. There are two methods. One, for those who use the PayPal platform, go to paypal.com. That's paypal.com. And in the box where it asks for the email address, you enter 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, the digit number 6, @gmail.com. For you Cash App users, you go to Cash App, you enter $SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit number 4. Again, that's $SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit 4. And in both cases, no matter how much your love gift, you enter that in, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. And God will greatly, richly, and most honorably bless you. Amen. And now it is time for the Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week. And this week we are going into Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5.
Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him.
All right, and one more time.
Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him.
And that is our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, found in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5, which tells us that every word of God is pure. And that is the best place to get pure words is in the Word of God, found in our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5. Amen.
Living water, and bring
today, I've been counting the many blessings in the family my dad raised. All the love we shared through the years has come back to me in many ways. And today, my mind flashed back to my childhood days. I recall my first day of school and how much it hurt my dad to see me start off in patched up blue jeans. But Dad, today that's the style. My boy won't go anywhere without his patched up jeans. They're old and faded, and they look like they've never been cleaned. And I remember Sunday school, and how I'd get mad when you'd make me go. But now, I can see why that was so important to you. Because we prayed together, and we stayed together. Now, my dad was a man that knew his own mind. And I remember when he'd call us all together, and he'd say, family, it's loving time. His world was built around Mom and the four kids they raised. And I can still see the smile that always came on Mama's face each time Dad would say the table grace. The house was filled with lots of noise, but when we got too loud, Dad would always say, oh, those devilish boys. There was three of us. The fourth was a girl. Well, you know Dad had a choice, a favorite, that is. But he'd say, I love one just as much as I love the other. Oh, would you look at her? She looks just like her mother. I've heard a lot of other people talk about my dad and talk about the things that he'd done when he was young. Because I might be a little bit prejudiced, but he was the best in the county when it came to a contest in games. Because he could outrun, outbox, outshoot any of the professionals that came to town. Now, my dad was a good man, and his family came first, and he did his best for us. And I know sometimes he worked till it hurt. The Depression wasn't an easy time. A dollar a day was the pay back then. And I remember my dad leaving the house before daybreak and walking 14 miles to get to work without being late. Oh, I guess everyone remembers the good times and the bad. Good times were happy, bad times were sad. And when I do something wrong, he'd straighten me out with his hand or a belt out behind that. But now, Mama didn't raise her voice or fuss when we get out of hand. She'd just say, now that's enough. And if we didn't obey, she'd tell Dad what was wrong. And without a question, Dad would lay it on. While we picked cotton, chopped cotton, stacked hay, pulled corn, well, that's the way we made our living back then on the farm. But things are different now. It's like a new world we're living in. Everything's a mad rush, not enough time for friends. And when I think of my dad, it makes me proud, you see, because he gave so much of himself to make life easier for me. Now, not everyone is lucky as I am to have a father who wanted the best for me out of life. And now when I hear a church bell chime, it's almost like my dad saying, family, it's loving time. So why don't you go to your dad right now and tell him you love him? And I'll bet you a dollar against a dog biscuit that it will mean more to him than any gift that money could ever buy. Because, you know, you can't ever repay him for all the things he's done for you. And the best way I know to let him know is just say, Daddy, I love you.
She helped Mama with the kids and cooking too. kids would listen, you could almost see the angels overhead. She said, kid, you must remember, God loves everybody, and I know those words were true that Daisy said.
Thank you.
stand. We sent homeward together, so near the promised land. Don't fall to plain girl in the hand.
She was caught in the act of doing wrong. They all brought her to Jesus to be stoned. They were all torn in fingers, no one within the hand. Jesus, when his finger rolled there in the sand, he said, don't put a finger in the hand.
If you see your brother stumble, reach out and help him stand. We should all work together, so near the promised land. Don't put a finger in the hand.
This method has been tried and proven true, and today it can work for me and you. Jesus came to lend a hand and do some good. Oh, those upon the fingers, there his hand to the wood. So now
don't hold the fingers in the hand. If you see your brother stumble, reach out and help him stand. We should all work together, so near the promised land. Don't put a finger in the hand.
I said,
don't put a finger in the hand. If you see your brother stumble, reach out and help him stand. We should all work together, so near the promised land. Don't hold a finger in the hand. We should all work together, some in the promised land. Don't hold a finger, don't hold a finger in the hand.
7 days a week, but what you really want, the Six Eyes Radio Network.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm just ready to say heck with life and ready to feel like I'm feeling like I'd be better off 6 foot under.
You don't want to do that, Em. I don't know much about this.
Well, that's just how I'm feeling.
Well, if that's how you're feeling, you may call a friend, but remember, they're not professionals, and they may not know how to help you. It's better if you call the National Suicide Prevention Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network. Is U-Haul open?
No.
We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Truck in the Vastabula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations. So we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2. F-O-R, the number 1, Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved. So come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right. Let's do it. That's Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Blind Trucking of Ashtabula Hauling Service. 440-789-9411. All right, come on now.
All right.
Hey, baby, I will be there shortly. Hope you are there. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait.
Was it worth it? Now he'll never make dinner, never again. And several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio. This commercial is also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen. But now it's time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen.
In the Holy Bible it tells of a day when the beast should walk among us and then it shall fall away. Famine, war, and desolation, they should rise in a good nation, trouble everywhere you turn. As in the time of Noah, in the days before the flood, sin will cool the love of men, and the streets will run with blood. Rape and murder, grief and sorrow, just like Sodom and Gomorrah, this world is gonna burn. I believe that we are living in the days John wrote about. The end times are upon us, and of that there is no time. Get your mind out of the world and put your Bible on the shelf. Read the book of Revelation.
Tribulation,
I don't want to be here.
Tribulation,
when that flame of fire comes down.
Tribulation,
when the seven seals are broken
and the seven vials are open
and the seven trumpets sound. Lightning streaks from east to west across the sky. God's faithful ones will disappear in the twinkling of an eye. Many are called, but few are chosen. Brother, don't let your heart be frozen. Don't you want to go? This world will be in bondage under Satan's evil power. The Antichrist will rule until that fire will blow you out. When pain and sorrow disappear, and God will wipe away all tears, joy forevermore. I believe that we are living in the days John wrote about. The end times are upon us, and of that there is no doubt. Get your mind out of the world, take your Bible off the shelf. Read the book of Revelation for yourself.
Tribulation,
I don't want to be here.
Tribulation,
when that flame is darkened.
Tribulation,
when the seven seals are broken
and the seven vials are open
and the seven trumpets sound.
this lesson is called False Teachers. One of the absolute, unmistakable, all-conclusive proofs to the Israelitish remnant that they are in the tribulation period will be there will arise false Christs and false prophets in tremendous numbers during the last days. Scripture, for false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall shew signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. Mark 13, verse 22, KJV. These false Christs and apostles will be so satanically inspired and possessed that they will be able to shew signs and wonders, making it seem that they are the real McCoy. Of course, we know that any growing situation which has its future climax or ultimate fulfillment at a given time must also have a preparatory groundwork laid beforehand. These don't just happen all at once without a cause, and such is true relative to the false Christ and false prophets sign, which will be consummated in the Great Tribulation. By that I mean to say, as a true believer in Jesus Christ studies his Bible and studiously observes the many frenzied activities of those who claim to be the apostles of God, he sees a tremendous avalanche, an ever-advancing horde of false teachers, false apostles, and false Christs, the length and breadth of our world, jostling one against the other and crying forth a false gospel. So serious will this situation become near the close of the church age, between the age of law and the tribulation period, that the great apostle Paul warns believers to be cautiously careful and to be ever alert, because the comingness of that army of deceitful workers will endeavor to hammer or hamper the work of the true gospel of Christ and the ongoing of his church to some degree. Although Christ's promise is the gates of hell shall not prevail successfully. Scripture, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. 2 Corinthians 11, 13-15 in the King James Version. At the same time, the Apostle Paul was warning the members of the early church about false teachers. Peter the Apostle also picked up his inspired pen, sat down, and the Holy Spirit moved upon his heart. He likewise proceeded to warn future generations of damning heresy by saying, Scripture, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, 2:1-2. Apostle John, also becoming disturbed with what he saw, was determined that believers should not be taken unawares. John wanted us to make sure that when we observed a teacher, an apostle, a prophet, or someone who claimed to be the spiritual answer, we would put that person and his message under the microscope of spiritual scrutinization, using the Holy Bible as our yardstick of measurement. Scripture, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try or examine the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. 1 John 4:1, King James Version. We find John becoming further disturbed because he uses much stronger language in his second epistle, warranting to make sure that no true believer should become entwined or indoctrinated or spiritually drugged with a false gospel by the silver tongue words of a smooth talker. So he faithfully warns the second time. Scripture, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. 2 John 7, 10-11, KJV. In other words, the Apostle John is here telling all New Testament believers that if any man comes to your house or approaches your church as a candidate for pastor or prints a magazine or various degrees of persons of literature or comes under the airlines or let alone through the medium of radio or TV, posing as a disciple of Christ or a Christian teacher, but does not teach the true doctrine of Christ, that is the incarnation, God in the flesh, the death, burial, and that body, the resurrection, second coming of Jesus Christ, under no circumstances receive such a person or give him your finances in any way. Don't let him set foot inside your door. Don't even say good morning to him or greet him on the street. In this lesson, we propose to examine a few gospels and doctrines which are being spread throughout the length and breadth of this world today. By that I mean through books, pamphlets, magazines, radio, and TV. Let's not be bitter or display a satanic acid spirit, but let's intelligently try the spirits, whether they are of God. One of the most popular false gospels preached far and wide today is the unscriptural theory that the ungodly will not exist in eternity. Hell is only annihilation, and disobeying God carries no consequences with it, so the no-hellers teach. In other words, when an unbeliever dies, according to this popular false gospel, he's nothing to fear because he will be annihilated in a moment of time and will not exist in a state of consciousness where he will be subject to any condemnation or punishment for his unrighteous deeds while he lived here on the earth. It's amazing how the false teachers who promote this theory have gotten the willing ear of so many and multiplied millions in the world today reject the true gospel of Jesus Christ because they become intoxicated with the wine of Baal and are willing to sell their souls down the river of instruction or destruction merely for the quiet appeasement of soothing, rapturous worlds or words not founded upon Holy Scripture. The no-hellers teach that hell is the grave. They say those who die are never again conscious. They declare man does not have a soul separate and distinct from his body. Yet in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, the word plainly says, man has a body and soul. Okay, JV. Okay, Jesus Christ most emphatically taught eternal punishment for the wicked while he was here on this earth and pronounced the fires of hell upon those who live contrary to the Holy Scriptures. The word hell or Gehenna is used 11 times by Christ in the New Testament. Hell is depicted in Scripture as a place of torment, suffering, and punishment. Scripture, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It's better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, the fire that never shall be quenched. The fire is not quenched into the fire that never shall be quenched, and the fire is not quenched, and the fire is not quenched. Mark 9:43-48, KJV. These verses of Scripture, the word hell, translated Gehenna, is the Greek language, is indicative of eternal fire. Christ was not trying to fool anybody. He was authoritatively telling the unbeliever to be careful and not fool away his last opportunity for repentance and wind up in a devil's hell where the fire is not quenched. In fact, the New Testament closes with practically the same warning. Just before John closes the pages of the book of Revelation, we hear Jesus Christ saying, Scripture, be the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of burnt with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Revelation 21:8, KJV. Please don't make the fatal mistake of being lured into Satan's trap of disbelieving there's eternal punishment and denying the holy inspired scriptures which tell us there is a little hell for those who transgress the word of God and reject God's son, Jesus Christ. Now, eternal punishment is one of the false gospels of our day being palmed off on an unsuspecting society of weak-minded individuals who aren't able to think for themselves. John the Apostle strongly warned against permitting false teachers who promote the dangerous doctrine of no eternal punishment to gain your ear when he said, to receive him, false teacher, not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, greet him. For he that biddeth them Godspeed is partaker of his false teacher's evil deeds. 2 John 10-11, KJV. There's a growing emphasis among some religious people today to place Sabbath keeping as a necessary and essential part of salvation for the believer in the New Testament age. In other words, they say if you don't keep the Jewish Sabbath Saturday, you aren't really safe. To back up their argument, they go into the Old Testament, apply God's command to Israel, to the New Testament church. But one cannot rightfully take the instructions given to Israel and apply them to the church today. Neither can one contend that the observance and keeping of the Old Testament Sabbath day, the seventh day of the week, has any merits as far as salvation is concerned, nor does observing it make a Christian more spiritual or more useful in God's service. Nowhere in the pages of the Old Testament is there one command or injunction through God's inspired writers that the New Testament believer should keep the Jewish Sabbath day. In fact, at no time during his earthly ministry did Jesus Christ ever instruct his disciples to be sure and keep the Jewish Sabbath day. Christ broke the Old Testament Sabbath and became, and because he did so, the Jews tried to kill him. Scripture, and therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day, the seventh day of the week. John 5:16. Among many things, Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and this always brought persecution upon him from those selfish, conniving legalists of his day. Therefore, is it any wonder that God himself hated Sabbaths and predicted that he would eventually do away with them? God hates any religious movement, ritual, or false gospel which violates good principles and exalts pride and human hypocrisy. Scripture, bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity. Even the solemn meeting. Isaiah 1:13, KJV. Just for purposes of illustration, if the 15th of Abib, or Nisan, were on a Sabbath day Saturday, when Israel left Egypt, the seventh day Sabbath would fall on a Saturday for 7 weeks, or until 49 days had ended. Then the 50th day, which naturally was a Sunday, would be Pentecost. The next seventh day Sabbath after Pentecost would actually fall on a Sunday, and so it would be until Pentecost of the following year, which would change the seventh day Sabbath again. This time it will fall on a Monday and continue until the next Pentecost, which will be 50 days after the first 15 days of Abib Nisan, as stated, or on the 65th day of that particular new year. Thus, it was impossible for the Sabbath days to always come on a Saturday throughout the year. Anyone who tries to observe the Sabbath days and the seventh day cycle or definitely do not do so correctly. How do we know today is Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday? Time would have to have it accurately kept and recorded from Adam up to now if we were in it to definitely know the correct days of the week. In fact, a certain group of people who observed the Old Testament Jewish Sabbath day in their New Testament way of religion may not know it. But for 10 years, the founder of their organization began observing the Sabbath from 6 o'clock until the following day, 6 p.m. This was practiced for 10 long years. And suddenly she discovered that it would be from sunset to sunset and not necessarily from 6 o'clock to 6 o'clock. Pray tell me, how can someone who lives in the polar regions, where the sun sets only once every 6 months, possibly keep the so-called Old Testament Jewish Sabbath? There's only 2 sunsets a year in those places. I'm persuaded that the Apostle Paul was near the end of his patience when he cried out in anguish of soul. Scripture, ye observe days, months, times, and years, I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Galatians 4:10-11, KJV. Therefore, don't be lured into any religious practice which tries to get you to keep the Old Testament Sabbath day, because as a New Testament believer, you're not to observe one day more highly than another. Bible teaches that every breath shall be a holy breath. 1 Corinthians 10:31, KJV. All observances of days, months, times, seasons, years, and so-called holy events only tend to make a person feel religious and falsely identify himself, because he's only outwardly observing a religious ritual, not necessarily living a godly life. It's merely an impoverished substitute for the gospel, and the Apostle Paul says it is in vain. That's why the Apostle John warned New Testament believers against anybody coming to their door, handing out literature, and trying to engage them in discussion, and that literature and discussion not only being based upon the sound doctrine of Jesus Christ when he said, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. 2 John 10-11, KJV. There's not one verse of Scripture in the New Testament which records a distinctive gathering of a Christian church on the Jewish Sabbath day. On the other hand, the records show that New Testament Christians always gathered for worship on the first day of the week. That day was called the Lord's Day. John 20, verse 1, Acts 20, verse 7, 1 Corinthians 16, 2. Eusebius, the father of church history, who made a record of the time between the birth of Christ and Constantine and who lived 265 to 340 A.D., said, from the beginning, Christians assembled on the first day of the week, called by them the Lord's Day, for the purpose of religious worship, to read the scriptures, to preach, and to celebrate the Lord's Supper, communion. Since 1723, there have been those zealous advocates of an unscriptural doctrine which persistently contends that the so-called 10 lost tribes of Israel are to be found in the inhabitants of the British Isles. Later, the United States was brought into the bewitching picture, and for almost 200 years, men have been loudly proclaiming that the USA and Great Britain are the 10 lost tribes of Israel. No greater religious fraud could be perpetrated upon intelligent people than this flagrant concoction of imaginary Bible illusion. Unsuspecting victims of this unscriptural gospel are pouring multiplied millions of dollars into the coffers of the proponents of the Anglo-Saxon theory. Giant printing presses are humming, bookshelves are loaded, and ether waves are distorted with this man-made philosophy, and monies which rightfully belong to the proclaiming of the gospel of Jesus Christ are being ignorantly sidetracked by many of God's people into the oiling of the British Israel gospel machine. The British Israel promoters' biggest spiel is that 10 of the 12 tribes were lost when the Jews were captured by the Assyrians. But history does not back up this erroneous teaching. According to scripture, in 975 BC, the 10 northern tribes were separated from the other 10, or two mainly, Judah and Benjamin, but a true remnant of the 10 tribes fell away to Judah and Benjamin, were known as Israel and Judah and Benjamin. This is confirmed in 2 Chronicles 11, 3, 16, and 17. Furthermore, we have scripture to tell us that in 906 BC, there were 7,000 Israelitish people in Israel who had not bowed the knee to Baal. Scripture, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which had not kissed him. 1 Kings 19:18 KJV. Then we notice that in 721 BC, Israel was removed out of God's sight, with only the tribe of Judah remaining. Then the tribe of Judah absorbed the tribe of Benjamin and the remnant of the 10 tribes. Scripture, therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them out of his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah only. 2 Kings 17:18 King James Version. Isaiah 1:9 tells us that in 760 BC, only a very small remnant was left. In 600 BC, Judah, including Benjamin and the remnant of the 10 tribes, which fell away in the days of Rehoboam, was taken into captivity in Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar. 2 Kings 25, read the whole chapter. Approximately 65 years later, in 536 BC, there's a record of the return of Judah with Benjamin and the remnant of the 10 tribes which had been carried away into Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar. A census of all the 12 tribes was taken, showing a total of 42,360 of the whole congregation, plus 7,537 servants and singers, making a total of 49,897 in all tribes. In 594 BC, Ezekiel, who was carried away in the Babylonian captivity with Daniel, and the three Hebrew children of the fiery furnace fame prophesied about a future mark being set upon the foreheads of all the Israelites for all the abominations to be done in the midst of Jerusalem. This prophecy was made while the remnant of Israel, together with Benjamin and Judah, were in captivity in Babylon. Apostle Paul tells us that God has not cast away his people, which he foreknew, that he was an Israelite himself of the seed of Abraham, tribe of Benjamin, and there was at that time, 60 A.D., a remnant of all tribes according to the election of grace. Romans 11, 1 through 5, KJV. Apostle John prophesied in 96 A.D. concerning the people who were to be marked in the forehead in future days. They were the same people of whom Ezekiel prophesied almost 600 years before the first coming of Christ. John gives us the number children of Israel from each tribe who are to be marked on the forehead. There will be 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes, making a total of 144,000, Revelation 7 through 8, KJV. Halfway into the tribulation period, the Antichrist will make the holy place desolate, 2 Thessalonians 2, 4, KJV, and them which we in Judea will flee into the mountains, Matthew 24, 15, and 16, KJV. These mountains are all in the wilderness. They are a specially prepared place for the 144,000 is awaiting them. They will be fed and cared for by God for 3.5 years or 42 months, Revelation 12, 6, and 14 in your KJV. The man-child Christ came from Judah, one of the 12 tribes of Israel. It's the woman, Israel, not the church, as some teach, who is spoken of as fleeing into the desert, into the mountains and the wilderness. 12 tribes will be together as one at that time. Israel will remain in the city in the wilderness, Edom, Seir, and Petra, which is a mountainous city known as Bible to students as Petra. So Edom and Seir and Petra are all the same place. They just have several different names there. This area is to escape out of the Antichrist land, Daniel 11:41. When Jesus Christ comes at the Battle of Armageddon, he will go forth out of Jerusalem down into the wilderness to the mountainous city of Petra, and he will plead with the woman Israel, who will continue to constitute a remnant of the entire 12 tribes. Ezekiel 20, verses 33 to 36, KJV. Thus we see a clear, undistorted scriptural teaching from God's Word step by step down through the centuries of the Israelites who were separated in the days of Rehoboam and Jeroboam, the 10 tribes being driven into Assyria after a remnant of them had fallen away to Judah and Benjamin, all of whom were absorbed by Judah and went into the Babylonian captivity. After the Babylonian exile, a record was made of the 12 tribes by Ezra and Nehemiah. The Apostle Paul confirmed the fact that there was a remnant of the 12 tribes in his day. How can anyone say that God has cast away his people, the Israelites of the United States and the British Empire, are Israel? If a person teaches that England and the United States are Israel, that he denies the born-again people living in America and Britain the privilege of going in the rapture. Israel will not go in the rapture. She is on the earth during the tribulation period. Revelation 12, 6 and 14, KJV. At no time in his ministry did Jesus Christ indicate any such doctrine or theory as the Anglo. Be real careful how you entertain the prenullators of this false gospel, because when they stand at the judgment bar of God to give an accounting of their evil deeds, you'll receive the same judgment and condemnation they will receive from Jesus Christ. You've been responsible in any way for helping them promote British Israelism. Scripture. Receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. 2 John 10:11, KJV. God is the one his children hobnobbing with false teachers. Therefore, don't give them of your finances, much less your eyes or ears. To try to determine the origin of spiritism is a lost cause. Without a doubt, this ancient ism is the oldest religious hocus-pocus in existence. There is substantial evidence that such was practiced among the antiquated civilizations of long centuries ago. There are literally millions of folks throughout the world who are devoted to this way of life, and every phase of their well-being is guided, judged, and controlled by voices from the other world. Pick up the average newspaper in any American city today, turn to the weekly church page, and alongside the Evangelical Bible Teaching Church announcements, you will see their spiritualist counterparts listed. If these same institutions positively deny the Word of God, refuse to accept God Almighty as a personal God, repudiate the divinity of Jesus Christ, reject the Bible declaration that man is a lost sinner, and ridicule the book we hold to be the sacred, inspired writings of men of old as they are moved by the Holy Spirit, 2 Peter 1:21, KJV. Throughout the pages of Holy Writ, readers are endlessly cautioned to have nothing to do with those who have a familiar spirit, those who practice the art of divination, necromancy, sorcery, or witches and wizards. In the days of Moses, those who sought to communicate with the dead were strictly forbidden to do so on penalty of death. Scripture, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live, Exodus 2:18, KJV. No spiritualist medium in Israel was permitted to live. When one was found, she was immediately put to death. That's why King Saul had such a difficult time when he wanted to contact the witch of Endor. In that day, spiritualist mediums were seducers of the people, and their business was to turn the populace from serving God. Wherever you see spiritualism or spiritism working in an affluent society, you find that some society, unappreciative, resistant, and contrary to the intended fellowship God has with man. As one looks around the average American city today, you can see the external evidences of a great satanic religious empire established many times through great sacrifice by those who have been given simply because they've been blinded to the truth, and the net result for them will be the same as for those who led them into such a world of darkness. This truth is borne out in the scripture, which says, "And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." Matthew 15:14, KJV. Believing is exactly what John told the people of his day. He gave the prospective prophecy in the second epistle bearing his name. He was also emphatic in his declaration that they receive him, false teacher, not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. 2 John 10-11. Spiritism does not accept the spiritual declaration that God is a personal being. Spiritism does not accept Jesus Christ as the Savior of man who was sent from the Father. Spiritism sees no justification in the vicarious sacrifice of Christ on the cross and can understand why God would use such a means to save a civilization which never fell in the first place. Spiritism does not accept the Bible, and they plainly teach in their own official writings of that holy divine book which God inspired the writers to make known in his divine will is a gross outrage and misleading to the public. They say that about our Bible. They are a mockery unto God. Therefore, before you permit yourself to become entwined in the octopus-like grip of this cult religion, make sure that you are in command of your mental faculties completely, or else the power of Satan through his ministers will seal your doom for an eternal devil's hell. Scripture, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God, because many false prophets and teachers are gone out into the world." 1 John 4:1, KJV. Please be reminded of the fact that we live in a spiritual world, and all around us there is a great army of spiritual antagonists headed up by the master demon himself, whom the Bible describes as a roaring lion, walketh or walking about, seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8, KJV. Satan's prime purpose in this world is to put a stop to God's overall plan, and he can't do that as an alternative. He's endeavoring to retard and slow it as much as possible. Therefore, Satan uses many cunning and magical devices to deceive mankind. The devil will take advantage of every weakness in your life and use it to cause your spiritual downfall. May I therefore solemnly and sincerely urge you to be systematic and punctual in your devotions. Please set aside a given time or times daily for the reading of God's Word and for holy prayerful communion with your Heavenly Father. As you conduct yourself before man, make sure that what you say and do is pleasing to God according to God's plan for your life. As you go about your daily life in this manner, you're going to be bombarded with all sides by the opposing forces of hell, every cult, false religion, ism, and schism which Satan can throw across your pathway will seemingly become a stumbling block to you. By the grace of God, you can use these stumbling blocks for stepping stones to higher ground. Please be reminded the scriptures must most emphatically instruct every true believer to submit yourselves before, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. James 4:7 in the King James Version. Please remember, we live in a world of evil men controlled by evil spirits whose fruits are going to the world of darkness in which they live. We, the born again, are not children of the night, but we are the children of the day. Therefore, false Christs and false prophets, teachers will arrive and shall shew signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take ye heed, behold, I, Christ, have foretold you all things. Mark 13:22-23 in the King James Version. Next lesson will be the mathematical God.
This is Lynn Caliber. You're listening to the Six Eyes Radio Network.
All right, and Ruth, who do we got with us?
Well, we still have the Father, Son, Holy Ghost band of angels always there. Got you, me, Jim, Sid, and a mystery guest.
All right, well, our mystery guest there, if You wish to have any questions answered on what was presented tonight, just press the number one. If you got any prayer requests, prayer praises, any of that kind of thing, just press the number one. We'll open your mic. More than happy to do so. But until then, six, did you have any questions or comments on the material presented, or do you have any other comments?
Well, it was great material, as always, it's great material. But just the last couple of passages that she was reading about, about God and the stepping stones and following the principles of God, you can apply that to everyday life and reaching your future endeavors where you want to go. So I just like that last part. I mean, pretty much sums it up for me, keeping God first. And whatever you do, you know, he'll guide you, navigate you toward success. Just got to believe, trust, and have faith, continual faith. Amen.
Amen. All right. Ruth, does it look like our mystery guest wants to join us?
Well, actually, they do.
Okay. We're glad to have you tonight.
Hey, I'm sorry. Hey there, how you doing? How you guys?
Hey, if I'm not mistaken, this is Rochelle.
Yes, it is. Wolfgang, how y'all doing?
Doing great.
I didn't recognize your number. Sorry about that, darling.
That's all right. Hey, you know, I do want to ask you guys to pray for family for me. I would really like you guys to pray for my mother and my sister. They both have been going through some things, and they've been heavy on my heart, and I want them to get better. I pray for them, and I ask that y'all do too.
Amen, absolutely. Whatever it is, God will fix it. God will work it out. And all you got to do is have faith, size of a mustard seed. So I'm looking forward to a speedy recovery. Whatever's going on, especially with this pandemic. So whatever's going on, God will fix it. And listen, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Okay. And, Rochelle, did you have any questions on the material that Ruth presented tonight?
No. I was listening. It sounded very interesting. Right now, no, I don't have any questions. But I may as I continue to listen.
Okay. Well, because we are wrapping up the show tonight, so what we're going to do is have Six give us a closing prayer tonight as we get ready to close out tonight. And just want to remind people about the show for tomorrow. We're going to have Dr. Doug Quick in again with his message as he preaches. You'll want to join him tomorrow night for the Jumbo Braille program. And then, of course, Friday for the talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang, where you get Bible college on the air, no homework. So, and Friday, those are both at 9 p.m. each here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. All right, Six, you could give us closing prayer and any other closing comments that you'd like to give.
All right. Well, once again, I want to thank you all for joining us around the city and states of faraway countries. Our guest tonight, Rochelle, mystery guest, listening in. Thank you. Just want to thank the Lord for what he continues to do for each and every one of us, you know, and just continue to bless us, keep us all healthy, keep us all strong. Pray for the homeless. Continue to wrap your arms around the homeless. Bless our resources so we're able to do more. And once again, thanking you, Lord, for all that you do and continue to do for us. Now the question, what can we do for you? This we ask in Jesus' name. Watch over us as we sleep. And thanks for making the woke list today. And it's our prayer that we make the woke list tomorrow. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.